to everyone except Britney Spears' conservators, and welcome to Pros Before Hoes, the podcast where we talk about what we're
thinking,
drinking,
and reading.
Well, let's dive right in.
It's been a while.
It's been a while since I've used that horrific and corny phrase that I love so much. What are we drinking this week, Elle? Would you like to talk us through the beverage of choice?
Courtesy of you. Graham Beck, Brew Rosé, Pinot Noir, Chardonnay.
Oh, I love that that rhymes.
Yeah, it's also my delivery.
Such the sultry, dulcet tones of L airs.
It literally nearly killed me opening it because this was opened a few days ago, but I've got one of those
stoppers.
Yeah, from Greyfriars Vineyard in Surrey. And when I opened it, it fully went into my tit and I was scared. I thought I was going to have a cardiac arrest, but luckily, I'm now going to have a glass of wine, so I'm sure I'll be fine.
And I got bitten by fire ants on my boob while we were in Cornwall last weekend, so I would just like the world to stop coming for the hosts of this podcast, boobs. I don't know why we're being targeted like this. The person who gave me this bottle described rosé as, and I really enjoyed this, bitch diesel.
I feel like that's maybe why I'm a bit scared of rosé. But I have been enjoying it more recently. And a safe bet is one from Provence. To be fair, I prefer sparkling pink. So, and that's what this is. So I'm sure we'll be fine, Kat.
I'm not hugely fussy. Which I think means that I truly do drink it as bitch diesel.
It's surprisingly dry for the colour.
We've both had our first vaccine, which is great. I have noticed that I've been randomly beeping whenever I get near a 5G tower, but it's probably not related. How are you feeling after yours?
Fine, my arm doesn't hurt anymore. Oh, well, saying that. Hurt it a bit.
She says that as she lifts it violently.
Well, before, the second day, so I had mine on Tuesday, midday, and my arm ached a little bit, but then Wednesday, I couldn't go higher than, 90 degrees.
Yeah. I went and did an arm workout immediately after my jab to try and get it in before the pain set in. And I actually think it made it better.
Mm. I did one just before.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if that was... But then actually, to be fair, now it's absolutely fine. But then I did feel kind of spacey and I did have a bit of a headache, but I don't know if that's just because I'd had 4 hours sleep and or other things going on in my life. So I think it's all fine is the upshot.
Yeah. I was pretty chill after mine. But then I do know some people who weren't. But, you know what's more important than feeling good? Being vaccinated.
What's better than feeling good? Doing good.
Yeah, and not getting COVID / passing COVID on. We are crawling to the 19th of July at this point.
We're in a World War II film and our legs have been shot, but we're still, dragging, over the mud. We've got a friend that we're also dragging with us, and we are gonna get to the trench and we're gonna make it home.
And do you know what's fueling us?
What?
Bitch diesel.
I walked right into that.
You can also call it lady fuel if you're averse to swearing.
I don't know why lady fuel sounds a bit
It sounds a bit suspect.
It sounds creepily sexual.
I mean, there's nothing sexier than a good rosé ale. What have you been up to? What have you been enjoying this last week?
I've managed, and this is entirely coincidental, but I've managed to merge two, and they're connected.
Oh my god.
Beautiful thing.
Assimilation. Synergy.
There's a film on iPlayer, a BBC film with James McAvoy and Sharon Horgan, who we were talking about in the previous app, because everything she does I love. Well, I love this too. It's about a couple doing lockdown in the past year.
Oh, I've heard of this.
Yeah, and it's kind of like a play in that they talk directly at you.
Yeah.
And also the way they move around the house, they don't leave the house. It's all set essentially in 2-3 rooms.
Yeah.
And I know people talk a lot about how will art and creative stuff, will it actually deal with the past year, or will we just be la 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 la, let's move on.
Yeah.
And so it was interesting and quite emotional to watch it whilst we're still in it.
Yeah.
Because each sort of section, as it were, says the date and says the amount of deaths from COVID, and it maps the sort of journey of information we got, and then retrospectively it's really hard hitting. It does not hold back at all, and the relationship between the two. They've got a son as well, but he only speaks once, but it's quite poignant. But the dynamics between their relationship and how it looks at love and living with someone and just all those kind of aspects, I thought was really good. When it first started, I was like, "Ooh, this is not where I thought it was going to be."
Yeah. Sometimes those are the best though, aren't they?
Well, what's funny is by the end of it, it was exactly what I thought it was going to mm-hmm. be, but the sort of, I think it was the breaking the fourth wall and sort of talking directly at you as though you're there, you've gone round for dinner at a couple's and they've started arguing, kind of like that, and yeah. they're like, oh well, funny he said that because blah blah blah, sort of like that, which I didn't expect because I thought it was going to be more subtle, but then how it dealt with things was subtle, mm-hmm. just the delivery wasn't quite what I expected. Would highly 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 recommend.
So really. What's that called?
Together. And the trailer for it on BBC had one of the tracks from Dear Billy Martin's new album. And so that was going to be my second little recommendation, which is Flora Fauna, which I've been really enjoying listening to recently. And one of the tracks, I can't remember which one it was now, which is bad, was used on the trailer for Together. So a nice little loop.
I was just thinking this reminded me of how different production companies have handled commissioning lockdown TV shows. And there's a Anne Hathaway movie coming out with Anne Hathaway and Chiwetel Ejiofor, and it's like about them being locked down together and then robbing a bank. Which sounds like I haven't watched it yet.
Robbing a bank would be harder in a lockdown.
You'd think. But I think, so they rob Harrods? No, they rob Harrods, I think. And she works at Harrods. Anyway.
Why? Because they can.
Because their relationship is struggling, and what brings a couple together more than grand larceny?
Are they struggling financially because of lockdown?
No, they're struggling as a couple.
Oh, so there's...
And what brings them together is crime.
Okay, well, I'll watch it because of who's in it. But the premise sounds tacky af.
It does sound tacky, but it's
got so many people in that I like. I'm just looking now.
I know, it's got a good cast. It's got Stephen Merchant. Love it.
Yeah.
Mindy Kaling.
Ben Kingsley.
Big vibe. Ben Stiller. Why? We don't know.
Oh my god, I didn't even see Ben Stiller.
He's just creeping up there. Ben Stiller looks a little bit like a T-Rex.
Yeah, I was literally just about to say that.
Yeah. But Elle, in a world where nothing is open, how do we open up?
Is that the tagline?
Nope.
Okay.
Came up with that myself.
Okay.
I'm available for hire. I've been listening to Lorde's new single, Solar Power. Have you heard it?
I haven't actually.
You know what? It's a vibe. And it reminded me to re-listen to some of her old albums. And congrats, Lorde. You're a pretty good musician.
I upset a lot of people who I'm close to by my just sort of practical disregard. And by that, I mean, I just never listened to her and never felt an inclination to.
Mm.
But she's playing Primavera next summer, which I am going to.
You think?
Praise. Please, please.
When you assume, you make an ass of you and me, Elle.
I'm not assuming anything. I've got tickets. So if it happens, I'm going. If it happens and I can travel there, I'm going. If it all works out, I'm going. And she's playing there. So
if times are precedented.
Oh yeah, unprecedented times, then I'll be there. But yeah, I've never really listened to her. I don't know. But then I feel the same about, and this is not going to go down well, Phoebe Bridgers. I just don't really get it.
Yeah, I think they're the same... Like, ilk? Elk? Elk is a type of animal.
Same ilk.
Ilk.
Yeah.
And maybe they're of the same elk as well. We don't know what they get up to in their spare time. Yeah, no, I do. I really like Lorde, though. I think her music captures a vibe. We talk a lot about vibes on this podcast. I was talking to somebody about what my dream job would be, and I decided it would be...
Vibe coordinator, remember that?
Yeah, and I would quite like to be vibe strategist. Which seems contrary to the vibes, but sometimes the best vibes are organised.
Sometimes the best vibes are strategised. That's going to be your new...
That is my new saying.
Can I be vibe... I don't think vibe coordinator... Coordinator kind of... That would be superfluous if we've got a vibe strategizer.
No, because I'm...
No, but I think maybe we've got vibe cultivator.
You could be the vibe... So basically that's like...
Party.
The,
I party.
The gentrified way of saying hype man.
I am there, making sure that everyone's glasses are filled up, dancing with everyone, chatting with everyone, okay?
And I'm there with a clipboard.
I'm implementing your strategy.
Yeah. And I'm just screaming, is everyone having fun? I put tiny cupcakes out. Elle, are people eating the cupcakes? I need to know if people are eating the cupcakes.
There's me, like, pouring tequila in someone's mouth, being like, yeah, they love the cupcakes. They'll love them even more tomorrow when they're hungover.
Yeah. I am also, forgive me, Father, for I have sinned. I rode an electric scooter the other week and I fucking loved it.
Oh, I knew this was going to happen.
Even though I think it should be illegal.
I knew this was going to happen. And in lockdown one, when you were hating on them, I remember saying to you, I can't actually see you on one. And you were fuming with me. But you know why you were fuming? Because you knew it was true.
I knew. I do genuinely think it should be illegal to look like that much of a dick. But maybe I am a dick. I don't know anything anymore.
This is really, truly... A betrayal of trust.
But in my defence, Zoom.
I can't even look at you right now.
She won't look at me.
No, I look at you. I'm actually going to have another glass.
Or we're going to get a satisfying pop.
That wasn't that satisfying.
I might have covered that up with my voice. I'm sorry, it was fun. I would never buy an electric
scooter.
No,
of course it's fun. Of course it's fun.
I only rode it for a little bit.
No, of course it's fun, but it's just not... It's the people... that ride them with disregard for anything else in their path.
I did immediately get on it and think, I'm really glad I'm not in a suit right now because that would complete the bad vibe.
Mm.
That would be the bad place.
Did you feel really powerful?
I just felt very fast. And I did a cool trick.
Oh, God.
Where I was balancing on one leg, which doesn't sound impressive, but for me it is.
Like a flamingo.
Like a flamingo. And then also I crouched down a bit.
I respect that. On a moving thing, let's just break it down into its component parts as opposed to the whole image.
I'm so sorry.
Hypocrisy.
This is going to undo all of the philanthropy that I do when I'm going to hell.
Sorry, what is that?
I hang out with you.
Interesting. I think all listeners know why that's funny.
Have you been enjoying anything else?
Yes, actually. I forgot that I've made friends with, like, so many delivery people over the past year.
I did hear you.
Yeah,
like,
they know me, man. And do you know why they know me?
They know me, man.
No, but they do. They know my name. We have chats. Usually, I'm getting deliveries for you. Well, one guy was like, oh, have a nice day, Camilla. And I was like, I'm not actually Camilla. They're all for my flatmate. And he was like, oh, you need to get yourself something. And I was like, I have no money.
I like this. My reputation precedes me.
But today it was actually for me. Yeah, and we had a nice little chat. I think it was Ibrahim today.
Oh.
Which is nice. Do you remember that time on my birthday when one of the delivery drivers passed me? And he was like, I've got a delivery for you, but you're not in. And I was like, oh, because I was like walking down the street. Yeah. And I was like, oh, it's fine, my flatmate's in, so don't worry. And he was like, okay. And happy birthday. And I was like, how the fuck does he know it's my birthday? But it's because he had like birthday cards and stuff.
Right.
That said happy birthday.
Right.
Or I've got a stalker. But either way, the delivery drivers are so nice. And I'm friends with them all. I'm friends with three. We have three different ones.
You got to start somewhere. Friends with three, next thing you know it, you'll know every delivery driver in the country.
Yeah, maybe.
I feel like this is how I felt when they learnt my order at the local coffee shop and I walked in and she just started making my oat cappuccino and I didn't have the heart to tell her that I only ordered that a few times and I actually wanted an oat flat white. So for a good 6 months, I just drank oat cappuccinos, which is not really what I wanted. But
I'm so scared that when I go back to Briz, that when I go to the Apple... they'll have forgotten me because I used to walk in, sometimes they give me free drinks. Whisper. They'd have my order on the table as I walked into the bar. I was friends with all the security guards. It was just nice times, but it's been a long time thanks to this little thing called Corona.
It's amazing what regularly visiting a bar without wearing a bra or a t-shirt will do for you. Incredible.
Not wearing a bra, yes. I was wearing t-shirts.
Ah. That's where I've been going.
And
wrong.
Usually massive jumpers as well, so really. No, but I do worry about that. But yeah, shout out to the
delivery men of Southwest London.
Yeah.
This one's for you.
They're good chat, you know. Good chat. We talk about the weather, we talk about what they're doing at the weekend, talk about the footy. Just really nice. And you know what? They are actually quite good looking.
I'm not gonna lie, DPD drivers, they're fucking hot.
Yeah.
I don't know what their recruitment process is, but it's working and
maybe...
Hinge should be adopting it.
Maybe next time I have a chat with... Do I have a favourite? Yeah, I think I do have a favourite. With my favourite. We'll see.
You should just be like, do you want my number in case I'm not in? And also in case you're horny.
Do you want my number in case I'm not in? Because apparently I think I'm in a rom-com.
I don't know. Dream, believe, achieve.
It's like when the founder of STEM, the plant retailer, delivered my plant and gave me the free plant in lockdown. Do you remember that? And I had a nice chat with him and then I walked away like, that was an opportunity.
You could have had your own real life lockdown movie.
Yeah, I could have.
Missed out.
Like screams fiance vibes.
Like, oh yeah, I mean nothing screams fiance vibes. Like I own my own plant delivery company.
Yeah, I'd be amazed if he was single.
That man has been locked down since university.
He was locked down long before lockdown. This week, for judging a book by its cover, I have given Camilla The Midnight Library by Matt Haig. So the cover is a midnight blue with yellow, all in caps, yellow, The Midnight Library. Matt Haig is in white, and also in caps. Then, how do I describe this? In the middle, there is a really cool looking building which is white but then like illuminated from the inside and
3D
orange. Oh yeah, sorry, that goes without saying, but I should have clarified. 3D, almost like, you know those cards, those paper cards that you can sort of stretch out?
Yeah, I was gonna say, or you know, you get those candle holders that look like little white porcelain houses.
Yes,
that's what it looks like.
Yeah, so an accumulation. I feel like that's quite a good...
Yeah, I mean, you guys can Google it.
Not that you need to.
No.
And then there's also a little silhouette of a white cat.
Yes.
Just outside the building. Also, what's this called?
I actually don't know, because production have never given me enough budget to have this.
I don't...
The front cover ends slightly before the end of the book, so the pattern of the first page is revealed behind it.
Which is a sort of turquoise with little stars or glistening...
Yeah.
Things.
And often we do this for books where we've got loads of cover quotes and they end up making the end papers for a paperback.
Mm.
And it looks nice. Yeah, so my first note on this was a cat! And then we can move on. Is Matt Haig, or the same guy that wrote that time traveling book that we read when we were in Nevis? Okay.
How to Stop Time.
That was nice. So, based on that, I'm sure this is nice as well. The vibe is a little bit magical. I feel like this is about a place, probably a library. Don't ask me where I got that idea. Where special things happen. I don't mean that in a creepy way.
Yeah, it did sound creepy.
That sounded really
like
creepy.
Like lady fuel.
Lady fuel. That's why the special things are happening. Somebody who was like a little bit lost because it's dark. But also... emotionally. And maybe there's this like place, and it, for me, I got like sanctuary vibes. Yeah, I got a real sense of security from the illustration. It felt very like encapsulating.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you go into this place and you open a book and bam, you're in Jurassic Park. Dangerous, but cool. And then like bam, Victorian England. And then like bam, something else. And through that, we really learn about ourselves. Mm-hmm. And the protagonist... Maybe the magic here is imagined. Maybe it's a journey in their mind, if that makes sense. Fuck me. Maybe the cat is the protagonist. Because he or she are the one walking into the building. I had a lot of ideas, but none of them particularly well formulated. Feel free to riff off of what I just said.
You're not wrong, really. Essentially...
It would be criminal if you didn't read the blurb.
I'll read the blurb, but it's short.
It's more of a blurb.
Yeah, it's because they've got so many quotes, like you said.
Everyone loves it.
Nora's life has been going from bad to worse. Then at the stroke of midnight on her last day on earth, she finds herself transported to a library. There she is given the chance to undo her regrets and try out each of the other lives she might have lived, which raises the ultimate question: with infinite choices, what is the best way to live? It is a library, and each book, you try out a different life.
One of them could be Jurassic Park. Surely, in a world where there are infinite possibilities, one of those books is her life if she was in Jurassic
Park. Yeah, maybe if she'd been like, I want to live the life. I was going to say they're not that specific, but they are specific, but specific with terms of regret that she already has. So unless she had...
So it relates to her choices.
Yeah. So unless that had come up before, it could come up with you.
I regret I've not been to Jurassic Park.
It's more, yeah, but then I'm not sure that would work because it's more to do with what you have done that has stopped that happening as opposed to the science isn't in this world.
Yeah, right. You know what? Let me cling to a dream.
What you were talking about, I can't remember what you just said now, but about it being in her mind or yeah. Like that is touched on and that essentially it touches on quantum physics and philosophy a lot.
I was going to say, like, when you're describing this, my first thought is David Lewis' Possible Worlds Theory, which is, I would say, one of the best philosophical theories because it's one that you just can't disprove.
But do you know what I find ludicrous?
What?
And now we're getting into my opinions on it. They don't talk about possible worlds. She, get ready for this, Nora, philosophy graduate from Bristol.
Oh.
Yeah. So, Matt, you better do well here.
I guess it would have been a bit on the nose. I haven't read the book, so I don't know how it would fit into that.
What I dislike, and I know this is coming from the place of being a woman that is a philosophy grad from University of Bristol.
Yeah.
But the philosophy in it is, it feels a bit tokenistic. I don't think it would feel tokenistic necessarily if you hadn't studied it. But he's got to be prepared for the fact that if his main character is a philosophy grad,
yeah,
that philosophy grads are going to read it. Do you know what I mean?
And I'm sorry, but if you went to philosophy, if you went to University of Bristol and you studied philosophy, you would have had a lecture from James Lederman on Possible Worlds.
Exactly.
You simply wouldn't be.
I don't think Matt knew that.
Matt, you should have just asked. No, I mean, I think it's difficult because I think, like, obviously, if you haven't studied philosophy, to go too much into it, I think could be alienating for an audience. And Matt Haig, he does write, like, very commercial fiction.
Mm.
So I completely understand why he would have chosen not to do that.
But don't make your lead character a philosopher, then.
But she's not a philosopher, she's a philosophy graduate.
Everyone that studies philosophy is a philosopher. And actually, in my opinion, Amon Avi, anyone that, like, everyone's a philosopher. And if you think about the things that you study in philosophy, you're a philosopher. And I do think the way he... It's just a bit clumsy.
Okay.
Her favourite philosopher is Thoreau. And that is referenced throughout. And I understand why. And it fits very well. But it's like... It kind of teeters on the edge of, like, getting somewhere. And then it sort of retracts. And I'm like, okay, I understand why. It kind of does a disservice to people that haven't studied philosophy by only giving them, like, a tiny little bit. It's like, don't patronise people. You could actually say something here.
I don't remember a single word of what Thoreau said. My God.
Well, do you know what's also funny? And this might be because I did half English, half philosophy. I don't think he's on the syllabus at Briz.
I was going to say, I did full philosophy, couldn't possibly...
And it's really annoying. Do you know what? Things like that are just a bit annoying. Because it's like...
Well, you never know. The syllabus may have changed. It's changed.
True. Year. When was this published? It's relatively new.
Yeah, that was literally published this year, I think.
But then, when did he write it? Anyway, I'm aware that I'm coming from a position that most people that read it won't be, but I do think it is a bit tokenistic and clumsy. However...
It's fiction. Did you enjoy it?
Yes. There were some poems in it that made me cringe and feel incredibly uncomfortable by how bad they were. Okay. And it's a very obvious book.
Wait, better or worse than my Whale Sounds poem?
I like the fact that yours is just honest in how bad it is, whereas his is trying to... Yours was, I think, when you wrote it, trying too hard, but the fact that we could then reflect and just piss ourselves was important. And that's the true poem now, I feel.
Yeah.
Whereas the poems in this, it's just like, oh.
Oh, dear.
Yes. So you know exactly what it's trying to do and how it's trying to make you feel. And
yeah.
I don't like that.
Okay.
And I definitely said that before. When I feel like I'm being, not manipulated because it's not working, but when I feel like someone is being like, and I want you to think about it like this, and this, and this, I'm like, no thank you.
Okay. So far you've said you'd enjoyed it, but you've not given one bit of positive feedback.
Because that's where I'm going to end on that.
Okay, you're going to end on the good stuff.
I'm going to end on that. But I need to be honest and get this out of my system first.
No, we love honesty.
Yeah, so it's definitely trying to elicit certain things from me.
Yeah.
And I was just very aware of that. But that doesn't detract from the reading of it and the enjoyment of it.
Okay.
And it does articulate something that I think is important. And I didn't realise how much it's not said. So it's made me think differently. And that's kudos to it.
Okay.
Especially given that, like you said, it is like point blank commercial fiction. The fact that it did make me think of things differently. So okay. I respect it for that. The idea of like how we approach our lives and the sort of shoulda, woulda, coulda. And I think unintentionally and subconsciously, we're often like, oh, maybe I should have done that, or maybe I should have done that. And with regards to me, I don't actually have a lot of regrets per se,
mm-hmm.
but I am constantly like, there's a million things I want to be doing and I'm not doing any of them. So how am I really being me? And the idea of like what you do reflecting everything you are.
Mm.
So one sort of thing that permeates the whole thing and ends up being really important at the end is the idea of potential being enough.
Yeah.
And you don't have to do everything in order to be everything. And just because you're not doing ABC doesn't mean that ABC isn't part of who you are and your character. And I think that was really interesting because I think definitely today it's like, oh, I do this, that, I do everything because
yeah.
I've got all these aspects to my personality. And if you don't have stuff to show, I think it can feel that like that part of you doesn't really exist because you've not got anything to show for it. And this is really good as she goes and tries the different lives. Because she's tried them all at the end, she's like, oh, that was me, but that was also me, and
yeah.
this is me now, and I'm those people, even though I haven't pursued that, and I haven't pursued that, and I don't have a paper published there, and I don't have... Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think it's really interesting, because I always think of people as being made up of the things they've done, but also, I think a large part of who we are is the things that we want to do, and that doesn't necessarily mean things we will do,
mm-hmm.
but... We are, in part, our ambitions, and not every ambition will be realised, but the very act of you wanting to strive for something, to achieve for something, I think aligns you with that thing in
but
a certain way.
But not even necessarily... I think it's just... It talks about want and how want means a lack, and that's quite an interesting discussion in the
yeah.
book. But it's not even that you have to strive to do something. It's that actually that's just a part of you that you've always found interesting, and you and your interior hold to be true of you.
Yeah.
But maybe you've not done anything with it, so no one else really knows.
Yeah.
And that's fine.
Yeah.
Because I do think there's a lot of pressure to be like, oh, if you don't have anything there as, in inverted commas, proof or evidence of,
yeah,
then it doesn't count. And I
yeah.
think that's why there can be a dissociation between people's sort of interior and exterior and how they see themselves, and that's why it can get problematic. And I think it explores, or it maybe doesn't explore that in like huge depth, but it touches on it several times, and I thought that was something really interesting that I didn't expect to get from it. It is genuinely touching and genuinely hopeful in a way that wasn't saccharine. And how it handles... So Matt Haig is, like, known for his mental health stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And I had to unfollow him on Twitter because I found it, and I'll be honest, insufferable. I think what he's saying is important, and I'm glad he's saying it for a lot of people. It's not my bag.
Yeah.
So I went into this being like, okay, the lead character goes and take her own life. How's that going to play out? The handling of all that is so well done, and I'm not quite sure how to say it to do it justice, but I kind of want to say matter of fact, but that makes it sound cold. It's not, it's just realistic. It doesn't make it grandiose, it doesn't make it dramatic. It's just, this is what's happened, this is how someone's dealt with it.
Yeah.
This is how they're dealing with it now. Do you know what I mean?
I think when you're, yeah, I don't know, I think that is an important part of thinking about how we approach mental health is, like, almost taking a step back. And I think in terms of, unless you obviously have kind of a mental illness, in terms of just managing your day-to-day mental health, I think the most important thing sometimes is to try to be more matter-of-fact about stuff and to be kind of like, this is what's happening. I need to take a step back and reevaluate how I'm thinking about it.
What I think is good is that Nora, the lead character, is quite matter of fact. And I don't particularly like her, but I don't particularly dislike her, but I rate how, and I understand, it seems real. Yeah. How she thinks about things.
I think, yeah, that's really impressive when a writer can make thought processes feel natural.
Mm. And I actually, to be fair, don't often have that. Not never have it, but don't often have it with writing, and very, very rarely have it with the kind of book that, like, will sell, like, loads like this.
Well, I think it's also, it's a fact of writing that very often, especially when you have a single protagonist, the way that your protagonist thinks will so often be a reflection of the way that the author thinks, and we all think differently.
Mm.
And I think it's a really, to me, it's a sign of a very accomplished writer when they can mimic other thought patterns. But often I think you have to be quite familiar with the writer's work to be able to appreciate that, because you need to read loads of their books and be like, you've actually crafted distinct characters who see the world differently. And I think that's one thing that I always find interesting about Sally Rooney's writing, is I really enjoy her books.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think she's the best at creating really distinct thought patterns.
I think that's what's good, though, because it leaves you space for you to sort of slip in between. And I think that's why her books resonate so strongly with people.
Mm.
That she leaves space for the reader. And what I was going to say as well is, when it's a first-person narrative, unless, but also kind of in tune with, unless you're like, oh God, I completely disagree with everything this narrator is saying.
Yeah.
You almost do in some way assimilate to them. So you don't even necessarily have to have had a kinship with the way a narrator thinks to, by the end of the book, be on board, because you've only had them and you've sort of been on the whole book with them.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, being able to step into a narrator's kind of mindset and feel,
but,
like,
but making it think that it's yours, not as in feeling like you've stepped into someone's shoes, as in reading it and almost becoming them.
Yeah, well, I think that's, like, comes into play a lot with the book that I'm going to talk about, in terms of, like, going along with something and being part of your brain as the reader that's like, oh my God, like, stop.
Yeah.
And then the other part of the brain that's like, I can kind of get what you're doing.
Yeah.
So a book that I absolutely love and can really recommend is Lena Anderson's Willful Disregard. Lena is a columnist at a Swedish newspaper. She originally wrote the book in Swedish and it was translated. It's published by Pam Macmillan quite a while ago. I actually read this book for the first time about 5 years ago, but it's one that I come back to every few years, just because Lena's writing is, like, it's so sharp and so insightful that it's, yeah, it kind of borders on, like, feeling like a pinprick on the skin at times.
Mm-hmm.
But it's incredibly astute and very precise. But yeah, so I'll kind of talk a little bit about what the book's about and then talk about why I love it so much.
Please do.
So Esther, I'll give you the blurb. Esther Nilsson is a sensible person in a sensible relationship until the day she's asked to give a lecture on the famous artist Hugo Rask. The man himself is in the audience, intrigued and clearly delighted by her fascination with him. When the two meet afterwards, she's spellbound. Esther's life is then intrinsically linked to this meeting and the chain of events that unfolds. She leaves her boyfriend and throws herself into an imaginary relationship with Hugo. She falls deeply in love and he consumes her thoughts. Indeed, in her own mind, she's sure that she and Hugo are a couple. Slowly and painfully, Esther comes to realise that her perception of the relationship is different from his. She's a woman who prides herself on having a rational and analytical mind, but in the face of her overpowering feelings for Hugo, she's too clever and too honest for her own good. Bitingly funny and darkly fascinating, Willful Disregard is a story about total and desperate devotion and how willingly we betray ourselves in the pursuit of love. Yeah, so I think, I mean, at its core, Esther, our protagonist, is a woman willing to destroy her life for a man who barely acknowledges. But it is, like, it's just such a good book. It won loads and loads of awards in Sweden, but it is so astute. And it really, I think what Anderson does really well is she explores the kind of power dynamic that cultural capital and fame bring to a relationship, but in a way that is instantly recognisable to anybody who's ever been in any kind of one-sided relationship, mm-hmm. where you're making excuses, where you are, yeah, I mean, oh God, where you're willing, the lengths that we will, that we're willing to go to in order to imagine that we're getting what we want. Because it's easier than accepting that you've led yourself down a path where you're like, I have got this wrong.
Yeah.
I have made a mistake. And I think that applies to so many situations, but the kind of this dynamic in this book is, yeah, it's really interesting. And obviously Hugo is like detestable.
How much is he in it?
He's in it, like, throughout.
Oh, okay.
He's in it throughout.
So they do have a relationship.
Yeah.
It's so, just not what she's...
I don't want to give anything away.
Okay.
But she's not entirely deluded.
Okay. She's just embellishing.
She's embellishing to herself.
Okay.
But I think, yeah, it really would resonate with anyone who's been in a one-sided relationship. And I think also, like, the sheer force of love or obsession, that's kind of up to the reader, I think.
And both.
Or both.
Could be both.
And how it can enable us to abandon even our most basic reasoning faculties. Mm-hmm. So in a weird way, by writing about unrequited love, Anderson is showing the full force of love as an emotion.
Yeah. That makes sense.
But it's a really well-crafted journey through kind of self-delusion. And Esther is, at its very core, a victim of hope. Laid bare.
Yeah. Oh, Esther.
Laid bare in a really raw way that it made you, your cheeks, they burn for her. Like, you are just like, oh my God, please.
Oh,
like, God. You've got it wrong. But then on the other hand, you're kind of like, you kind of see, like, why you're doing this.
Yeah.
Like, she is such a rational character. Oh, that, okay. Her explanations to herself.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, so I think
that's way more...
Yeah. She's too clever and But I think, like, on the flip side, she's too clever and uncompromising for her own good. Like, she can
explain away.
Yeah.
Yes. Like, that's very interesting.
But also, because of how, like, intelligent she is and the fact that she knows exactly what she wants, and in this case she just happens to be pursuing it in the wrong situation,
mm-hmm.
I think it really brings to light that conventional masculinity doesn't like women telling men how it works, love or otherwise. Mm-hmm. You know, she says to Hugo throughout the book, you know, she'll be like, no, like, tell me this to my face. So, and it really throws him off as a character.
Mm-hmm.
And
what kind of things? Like, why would he not be saying it to her face?
So there are things where he's like, you know, we'll talk. And she'll be like, when will we talk?
Oh, I see.
You know, so it's, he'll be vague, and then she'll be like, no, I demand better from you, but she's demanding better from somebody who is not in the same sphere as her.
Right, okay.
And I think it's interesting that what I would deem to be a good trait, like demanding honesty, demanding clarity,
mm-hmm.
becomes part of her delusion.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, my favourite thing about the book, maybe, is the subtitle, which is just a novel about love.
There you go.
I think, like, you'd really enjoy this book if you've enjoyed any Miranda July, particularly The Last Bad Man, which is a great book, which I'll talk about one day on the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
I also thought a lot of this book when I was reading Acts of Desperation, which mm-hmm. I talked about one of the last couple episodes that we did. And again, that way that love is like this driving force between something incredibly wonderful, but on the flip side, you can just keep tunneling down the wrong path with it. And mm-hmm. it really is that powerful.
When you said, this is a bit of a tangent, and I'm probably somewhat clutching at straws, but when you said about, he's like, oh, I'll call you, and she is like, yeah, but when?
Yeah.
That really reminded me, there's a pilot on, I think it's BBC, called Dinosaur, about a
woman. Love it already.
It's not really about, well, dinosaurs do feature, but it's about a woman on the ASD spectrum, so she's autistic.
Yeah.
And she goes on a date from a dating app with this guy.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'll call you, I'll text you. And she's like, when? And that kind of... So when you said that, I was like, oh, that's interesting. So that's another little... I think it's on iPlayer, a pilot called Dinosaur, which is interesting. But she's very much like that. So when you said that, I was like, oh, I wonder if that...
And I think, like, I think it's a really... You can at the same time appreciate how these qualities about Esther are great. Like, they're such good qualities to have, I actually think. Kind of that demanding clarity, demanding honesty, and mm-hmm. demanding the most from people. Mm-hmm. And then on the flip side, you can be like, but I can see how this is backfiring in this situation, which I think it is really a, I mean, we can all relate to.
I guess it's about picking your moments, isn't it?
Yeah. No, exactly. And I think there's so much build up and hype around it.
Mm.
And the way that Anderson crafts the story, it's just, it's very powerful. And it, you really do, like, it's visceral the way that you feel, like,
Oh my god,
you're really invested in her and you're like, I do really like you, even though she's not necessarily a likeable character. Like, she is analytical, a little bit cold.
Yeah.
You know, just breaks up with her boyfriend because she goes, like, holds a lecture and meets this guy once, which is quite savage.
Yeah.
But, I think also...
I want to read this. She sounds like an interesting character that you don't really have a hold on until you've read her.
Yeah, yeah. Which is very much the same thing as the protagonist of The Last Badman by Miranda July, which is why I kind of thought of it. It really did remind me of that. Although I think Esther's much more likeable. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, again, like, also, I think what I enjoyed about it and what I enjoyed about Acts of Desperation as well is this exploration of... I want to say conventionally female vulnerability in unconventional female characters.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that when it goes right, I think vulnerability is an incredibly powerful thing. Mm-hmm. But when it goes wrong, it's so engrossing. And you really do feel yourself jumping off the cliff with the character and kind of being like, we're going this way.
Mm-hmm.
But I really, really enjoy this. And I really recommend it. It's a short book. It's not very long.
Sounds like one I want to read.
It's also got a great cover, which you should Google. It's like a cream background with a pink crumpled post-it note that just says willful disregard. The cover, a novel about love.
The cover is nice.
It's a great... Kudos to the designer at Pan Mass. Big vibes.
Kudos to you, sir.
The vibe strategist approves.
God.
How does the vibe coordinator view our drink this episode?
I was happy with it.
It was nice.
I was happy.
Well done, Graham Beck.
Thanks, Graham.
Thanks, Gazza. Thanks for the bitch, Diesel.
Is Gazza... No, Gazza's shot for Gary. I don't think you can be a Gazza if you're a Graham.
Yeah. It says that at Graham Beck, they're in pursuit of the perfect bubble. Go back to me during lockdown, interviewing people to be in my bubble. If only we'd had Gazza on board, he could have been a fantastic consultant.
Also, we had each other. We weren't allowed to have a bubble.
Yeah. That's true.
Oh, well, no, we could have been someone's bubble.
Nothing could have stopped me from interviewing people for a bubble that wasn't going to exist.
Really enjoyed that. Pink bubbles are my favourite kind of pink, and I enjoyed those immensely.
Good stuff.
That's it.
And then segueing quickly into things that you don't like.
I dislike how, and I sort of understand why it's happened, but it's not my vibe, and I want it to stop. It's become impossible to make plans with a group larger than 4 or 5 people for the foreseeable future, because everybody has just got every weekend just, like, booked because we've not been able to do anything.
Yeah.
But, like, it needs to... It's gone too far because spontaneity is important.
Yeah.
And I have never been a booker. That's, I'm sure, not a surprise to many, but I never have. I'll do it for like a birthday or like something that is immovable and has to happen.
Yeah.
But in terms of just like going to the pub or going out for dinner, I don't think it's necessary. I think it makes everything quite restrictive. It's become aggy to make plans with people who it never used to be aggy with. And it's just kind of like, yeah. And I get why, because it is important to like leave time, not necessarily to do nothing, but just to be able to say yes to stuff, you know?
No, I completely get that. And I agree, as somebody who, you know, loves a plan, loves a booked schedule, loves booking.
But not too far in advance.
No, I mean, I was guilty of doing a few things too far in advance when everyone was mad booking, like, for May and June. Because I was like, it would be nice to have some things planned and everything will be booked up. But I do agree, spontaneity is good.
No, I get that then. I'm thinking, yeah. Like, now we're at the end of June.
Yeah.
I'm talking about, like, end of July, August, September. Like, you should be able to, like,
yeah,
do a weekend in September with a group of people and it, like, be feasible. And I think everyone just needs to calm down.
If you're dropping hints, I am available the last weekend of September.
It's good to know.
But not before then.
It's good to know.
This is, like, a retrospective dislike for something I forgot to complain about at the time.
Fantastic.
You know? The popcorn filters for our shower. I feel like I smell like an Odeon cinema. So, Elle and I, do you want to explain why our shower smells like popcorn?
Are you talking about the coconut and vanilla one? What are you talking about?
Oh, I thought it was popcorn scented.
No, that's the one you wanted, and I was hesitant.
Oh my God, why do you ever listen to what I want? I'm
because
always
wrong. Because you'd have
wrong.
Had a strop, because it was vanilla and coconut, which are your favourite scents, but I knew it wasn't going to work in water.
No, it smells like... I didn't taste it. It smells like popcorn.
We've got a VitaClean shower head.
Yeah.
Because London Water is just full of crap.
And we are bougie.
And it was making my hair deadly straight, which was a concern. And so we got a VitaClean shower head, and they have like vitamin C shots in them, and they have different scents. And so the first one we had was just orange,
which was nice,
which was lovely,
refreshing.
And then I was ordering the next batch, and there was one that was vanilla and coconut, and you were like, we have to get that. And I was like, fair, I don't think it will be nice in water, but we'll do it. So I'm proven right. And there we go. It did smell like popcorn. It was buttery. It was yeah. Not nice. Now we have jasmine, and I like the jasmine, but orange is still my favourite.
Is there a different scent?
Yes, darling.
I'm not going to lie. I exist on this earth, but I don't really register a lot of what happens. Hence why I'm complaining about our popcorn shower filter approximately 2 months before it went in.
No, 2 months after.
Two months after it
and went
And
we've had that one for 2 weeks. So the jasmine one we've had for two
Are you
weeks.
Kidding?
No.
I fully went in today and was like, still smells like popcorn. I'm fun to live with.
If you smell it, when you first put the shower on, when you smell it, I think you'll be able to get there.
Okay, I need to have a shower in the morning, so I will. I'll report back next week. Well, anyway, that was my dislike. But on the whole, I think things have been pretty positive.
We had good weather, didn't we, for a bit? I mean, it's raining now, but that was nice.
Count your blessings.
Exactly. Exactly.
I think, like, we're in that nice phase where things have been worse and they will get better. But right now, everything is kind of manageable.
If things stay how they are, we'll be all right. I don't want things to get worse, which I don't think will happen, but might.
You know what my saying is, things can always get worse.
Things can always get, but that's what
but
I mean.
But they can also always get better.
Yeah.
So what I'm really saying is we don't know anything at all.
Equilibrium.
Equilibrium, and that's your philosophy lesson for today. All right, thank you for listening, and we will be back in a couple of weeks.
With the last episode of the season. Oh my gosh, what can you hear? It's all those cries and wails and...
Oh my God, shout out to Sophie's mum, who apparently loves our podcast.
Oh, really?
We got a tweet the other day, not my friend Sophie, this is a who messaged us on Twitter saying that she put this podcast on a long car journey with her mum, and her mum is now addicted.
Oh my God, I love... That has actually made my day.
So welcome to the mums. I'm sorry that I swear so much. I was raised in a barn.
Oh, that's actually made my day.
And on that note, we love mums.
Yeah, and get in touch.
get in touch, mums. Let's get some mums on the podcast.
Yeah, I really want that.
Distinct lack of mums on this podcast.
And my mum gives me loads of good book recommendations.
Yeah.
So if you're a mum and you've got a recommendation.
We'd love to hear it. We don't have enough time to become mums before the next episode.
Maybe heaven forbid.
Maybe by like season 5. I don't know. Who knows where life will take us?
Season 5, I think, would still be too soon.
We could be turtle mums. We could get a turtle. Feel like we're
Do
off topic.
Do you mean tortoise? Now.
No, I want a turtle.
But what, in like a little tank?
No, a big tank. I think we should fill the entire back garden with water and then put a turtle in it. And I'm sticking by my guns, and I'm going to end the podcast there.
I want a seal.
We could get a seal.
But then you did say getting a swimming pool was OTT.
Yeah, like, we're going to have to... You know what? We're gonna iron this out for the next episode and get back to you with our aquarium plan. All right? Enjoy your weeks.
Au revoir.
If you've enjoyed listening to Pros Before Hoes, please remember to rate, review, and subscribe. Otherwise, we'll have no idea.